this evening, as we start this very first day of 21 days of praying and fasting, the theme, this year is baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what we are hoping to focus on. And what I want to teach on or preach on is a teaching I call Expanding God's Kingdom Through Body Ministry. In other words, I want to emphasize that each one of us have been gifted and we have been given an assignment so that we can be able to help build the church, expand the church, expand the kingdom of God in different ways. And the good news is that God is really moving in this country. As you all know, this is 2026. I'm a political scientist, so I'm a professor of political science, so I follow these things a lot. As you know, we received our independence in 1776. This is 2026. Guess how many years we are celebrating? 250. Isn't that amazing? Two quarter of a century, right? Not to say, well, no, it's not a century. Quarter of a millennium? I mean, think about it. Quarter of a millennium. And this country is still standing. It has gone through a lot. But God has watched over this country. And you see what we are watching there? One of the reasons that God has continued to sustain America, it is because America never forgot God. America continued to support mission work, to take the work of God and the word of the Lord around the world, and to touch the world with the message of Christ. And God does not, there is a lot of sin. I'm not saying America is perfect. There is a lot of immorality out there. But you know what? The good the church is doing is counterbalancing the evil that the devil is doing out there. And I'm here to tell you, church, we are winning. You didn't hear me. The church is winning. Okay? So let's give glory to God. We've been praying for revival to come to America, right? So when the revival starts to come, we need to praise God and accept it. I've been reading some statistics that Americans have started to go back to church in bigger numbers. I also saw church statistics saying, for the first time, as you know, traditionally, majority of church members are usually women. And majority of people who attend prayer meetings and church services are women. For the first time, men are going back to church. And we are starting to see now men starting to outnumber women in the church. God is doing something. Hallelujah. God is doing something in the church. And let us believe God as even we pray to continue praying for America that this revival movement will continue and the Holy Spirit will be poured out in a big way and we'll see more men come to church. More young men, especially teenagers, get rescued from alcohol, get rescued from drugs, and know that they can be drunk with the wine of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And they can enjoy life even better than alcohol and than all those other things in the world. Because life in Jesus Christ can be more exciting than the life in the kingdom of the devil. So I'm here to encourage you that God is hearing our prayers. Revival is coming. People are getting saved in this country. People are coming back to church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is really fabulous. So expanding God's kingdom through body ministry. And the subtext is everyone a minister. Everyone a minister. And I want to start by just sharing a little bit about my own experience, because you cannot change the world, confront the world and change it as a church unless you are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church needs to be re-empowered again and again and again with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can assure you that my life was changed and transformed one day when the missionaries came to my village in Africa, preached the gospel. I don't know how God chose me in that poor village, but I was drawn by the Holy Spirit to come to the meeting, and then he convicted me. I found myself kneeling down and asking Jesus to come into my life, although I did not understand it. But what I didn't know, as a young man, I was making a decision that was going to transform my life forever. Amen. And shortly after that, Dr. Barry Cabason shared a little bit, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my goodness, that encounter dramatically changed my life to this day. So when I wake up sometimes and pray, and I remember that day, I can confidently say my life will never be the same again. Because as I encounter that anointing of the Holy Spirit, I know he continues to change me over and over and over. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I will start the reading from verse 1, and I'll go through your verse 8. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse number 1. So the Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And just to make a little caveat here, as Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, is opening this book. And by the way, the book of Acts rightly should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because these are the doings and the works of the Holy Spirit that are listed in this book. So Luke is announcing to Theophilus. Now, I do not know whether scholars know exactly who this Theophilus was, but he had written before to him, and it could be that he's referring to the gospel according to St. Luke that he wrote before, maybe to this Theophilus. So, but he says, all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And you understand the way he's opening it, he did not put the word end, that the things that Jesus Christ started to do and teach and then end. This is just an opening that what was happening with the acts of the Holy Spirit was just the beginning. There was more to come and more to come and more to come in future dispensations and ages. Are we together? That the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that power that came upon the church was just the beginning. And I totally and wholeheartedly disagree with those who teach that the miracles and the work and the gifts of the Holy Spirit came to an end when the last apostle died. That's a lie. And we reject it. Let me tell you, if the work of the Holy Spirit ended when the last apostle died, I would not be standing here with you from that small village in Africa, born again, full of the Holy Ghost, and also got a lot of education in this country. Not only that did God save my heart, changed my character, but God also renewed my mind. It is wonderful being a Christian, a child of God. God renewed my mind so that I could understand even the difficult academic things. You know, a little boy from Africa, I could come to Tennessee at the university and compete with American students and get A's all the way from the village. You know what? Because I'm a born-again child of God. and have received the Holy Ghost in the inside of me, and he renews my mind. So those who claim that the days of miracles are gone, may they be liars. The days of miracles are still here. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is still healing the sick. Jesus Christ is still setting captives free. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He's our redeemer, our savior, but he's also our conqueror. He's continuously giving us the power to conquer and defeat the opposition forces. That's why the Bible says, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that speaks against you in judgment you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Amen. So he says, so the days are still here. Hallelujah. So, verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So when therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Verse number 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse number 8. This is what we were setting for. But you shall receive power. Everyone say power. You see, you know, all that Jesus was prepared, they were being prepared, and Jesus told them, tarry, wait in Jerusalem. Don't worry about the times. Your portion, it is to wait to receive power. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. You know, this is amazing. There were just a few people, 120 people at the beginning, that were waiting in the upper room to receive power. And the reason we have to continue seeking to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and let me assure you this, God can fill you again. Even if you lost your anointing down the road, even if the road has been rough and difficult, even if challenges of life have caused you to be drained or discouraged, I'm here to tell you, during this revival hour, during these revival days, you can be filled again. Hallelujah. God can visit you again, church. God knows your address. He knows where you live. God knows your Facebook account, your Instagram, your Twitter account, your TikTok account. Isn't that the truth? He knows all of them. So if God decides to visit you, he's not going to need a GPS to find you. My brothers, my sisters, God can locate you where you are and bring you this power that we are talking about. And I want to encourage you during these 21 days of praying and fasting, get a renewal of the Holy Ghost power. Get a refilling of Holy Ghost power. We need this power to go on. We need this power to overcome. We need this power to preach the gospel, to be witnesses for Christ in these last days. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Can we all stand up in the house of the Lord together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again tonight. As we start these 21 days of praying and seeking the face of God, we are praying that, Jehovah, you will release a mighty anointing, a mighty revival upon each one of us, that, God, you will cause us, Lord, to hunger for you, to thirst for you. And as your word says, that those who thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, that you shall touch each one of us. Give us a renewal. Hallelujah. Father, so many of us have gone through trials and obstacles and hardships throughout this year. Today, oh God, we are praying for revitalization of our faith and our relationship with you. Touch each one of us, Lord, during this revival, in the name of Jesus. Those, oh Lord, who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, I pray during this period, Lord, that you will fill them up with the Holy Spirit so that they can be delivered from the forces of the enemy that come against them, their marriage, their family, and their children. We are believing you for miracles, miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, miracles of transformation during this revival. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Everyone, please declare this. Say, my life will never be the same again. Now, I want you to believe this, because when the Bible says, you shall have whatever you declare, if it lines up with the word of God, with the promises of God. And during this revival, I'm declaring upon each one of us, upon me, upon all of us, that our life will become different. Not the same. Hallelujah, that 2026 will not be the same as 2025. It'll be better. Hallelujah. Let us declare that again. Say, my life will never, ever be the same again. Hallelujah. You may be seated, because the Lord is changing your life as we even preach the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. So, I want to tell you a little bit about my background, how I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and how that experience transformed and changed my life. I received Jesus Christ without getting into a very long, detailed testimony of my life. In my local village, in Kenya, and it was for me a great miracle that I came to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because my grandfather was the village's witch doctor, and he was training me as his grandson to ultimately take over from him to become a witch doctor. Those are the plans that the devil had for me, meaning I would have never left that village if I had followed that path. But God loved me so much that he had a different path for me. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That's why we know God says that even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I chose you. Yeah, even in that village, he knew me, because he sent missionaries to come and preach the gospel. And I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And they had to leave to go to other villages to preach, but they gave me a wonderful gift. This is one of the best gifts you can give someone, a Bible. I never had a Bible before, so they gave it. So I asked them what I need to do. They said, Joe, read this Bible, all of it. And they told me, believe all of it. And they told me, do all of it, and you will be fine. So they left. Before they left our village, I went and told my grandfather that with a lot of excitement. Did I tell you he was a witch doctor? And I told him, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I said, gave him, my testimony, and he said, no. He told me that's very bad. You can't do that because I'm training you to become the next witch doctor. And I said, no. What the missionaries told me, I can be a Christian and be a witch doctor. I said, no. Go tell them that you want to be a Christian witch doctor. Because he didn't want to lose me. And he thought maybe we can have it both ways. And I went and asked the missionaries, is it possible for me to be a witch doctor and also be a Christian? They said, no. And they said, you see, those two things work on different kingdoms, different powers. Witchcraft is from the power of darkness, of Satan. But you see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of light, the light of the world. You can have darkness and light at the same time operating in you. So you said, when you said, Jesus Christ, come into my life, you invited the light of God to come into your heart. So darkness must go away. So now, even when I got saved, I had a lot of witchcraft paraphernalia all over my legs, hands, to protect me against evil spirits. The missionaries told me, Joe, you do not need all those paraphernalia of witchcraft to protect you. I said, how will I be protected against all the evil spirit? They said, Jesus Christ, whom you have accepted, that's all you need to protect you. So that's what I did. I went and got all the witchcraft paraphernalia. I threw it out. And I can tell you, since that day, God has been my protector. Amen. No curse has ever come through on my part because I received the blessings of heaven. And they chase away the power of the curse. That is the faith that we have. So they left, and I was reading the Bible. And as I was reading New Testament, I was reading the book of Acts. So I came to Acts chapter 2. At that time, I was sitting in our hut, in my grandmother's hut one evening. I was reading Acts chapter 2, verse 1, which says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared cloven tongues as of fire and sat upon each one of them. Verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as I was reading, the same experience in that heart started happening to take place in my grandmother's heart. A wind blew into that place. I don't know where the wind came from, And immediately I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just it happened with those 120 followers of Christ. And I started to express my gratitude to God because of how excited and the joy, exuberance that was in my heart and my spirit. And as I was expressing my joy, my appreciation, in my I speak three languages. Kikuyu, which is my tribal language. We also speak Kiswahili, which is our national language. And English, which is the official language of Kenya. So I found out I was not expressing myself fully in my language of Kikuyu. So then I changed and I started trying to worship and pray in Kiswahili. I found that this is not adequate. And then I went to English. I knew very little English at the time. It was not working. So I went back. And then I found my tongue going faster and faster and faster as more anointing was coming upon me. And I found myself just speaking words I did not understand, but I feel like I was truly expressing myself to God. I came to learn later that's what we call speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? I'm telling you, the same anointing and outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place on the day of Pentecost, it is still taking place today. If it took place in the village in Africa, it can take place here in Knoxville, Tennessee. If it can take place on this young African boy, it can take place on your life and on your children. Your kids can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And can you imagine if your teenagers became full of the Holy Ghost? They will put their high schools on fire. They will change their environment. They'll be able, instead of the other young people influencing them, they'll have the power to influence them. Hallelujah. Instead of the other young people pulling them to go out drinking and to go doing drugs, they will pull those teenagers to come to church. We pray that our young people become baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire and renewal. If it can happen to me in the village of Africa, I'm telling you it can happen here. As we wait on the Lord, as we pray, I pray that many during this period will receive the baptism. So I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God came upon me in such a powerful way. And at that time, my leg had almost a permanent wound which had become cancerous. And basically, I was looking at a possibility of my right leg being amputated. Eventually, it couldn't heal because the witch doctor had tried everything he knew. He had even taken me to another witch doctor, and they could not be able to heal it. Okay, and after I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and the power of God came upon me, almost without even praying for healing, miracles started happening in my life. This is what happens when the Holy Ghost is in you. Miracles start taking place. And so they had to take me to the hospital, and the hospital said they had to amputate my leg for me to live. Otherwise, I was going to die. But my parents did not want that to happen, so they got me out of the hospital, had taken me back home. And I'm telling you, when that Holy Spirit came upon me, church, healing started taking place. And I didn't even realize I was being healed until, because I used to walk using crutch, because I could not put pressure on my right leg. One day, I would usually using crutch on my right hand, and I would have a gallon of water. Before going to school, I would go to the river to fetch water for the family. So as I was coming back from the river with a gallon of water, I found out I didn't have a problem putting pressure on my right leg. I started walking. And I was walking properly. Then I realized I did not need a crutch. So I threw the crutch down, and I started walking. Lo and behold, I could walk fast. could walk fast. So I said, what happened? So I put everything down. I went and decided to check my leg. And when I checked, all around, the cancer had disappeared. The wound has been healed. The only thing that remained was a very big scar around the leg. Let me tell you, I don't mind the scar on the leg, so long as the cancer is gone, hallelujah, and the healing has taken place. Oh, our God is a healing God. Jesus Christ is a healer. Hallelujah. He can heal all types of diseases. He's a miracle God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit made that difference in my life. He did it. And that's why I'm making a case that in order for us to be effective in our ministry in the church and expanding the kingdom of God, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I will continue tomorrow in talking about what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and about our mission as a church that's anointed, that's powerful, and how we have been called, each one of us, to do body ministry to help build and expand the kingdom of God.